You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Pity the Children. Now, here is Dr. Schultz.
The statistics are just as shocking as the act itself. This is the opinion of Maclean's, Canada's leading news magazine. The secular journalists sounding the social alarm were talking about the rate of suicide among teenagers in recent years. In the past three decades, the rate at which 15 to 19-year-olds have killed themselves has quadrupled. It has increased a shocking 400%. And because of this alarming trend, concerned social experts have been trying to answer the question, why? Why are so many young people so deep in despair? And why are so many youth destroying themselves? Maclean's magazine revealed that numerous factors can certainly lead to despair among youth. However, even among secular sociologists, one element is now becoming the key factor, and that is divorce. Oh yes, it may be true that many adults can cope in one way or another with divorce, but according to many of today's leading social experts, most youth cannot. Psychologist Dr. Judith Wallerstein, who has spent years studying child raising, states that divorce can increase an adult's happiness, but it is devastating to the child. Divorce, Wallerstein concludes, is not just one step or a passing episode in a child's life. Divorce is a disaster that changes the entire trajectory of a child's future. Now, of course, one might be tempted to launch into a lengthy explanation regarding all the evils of divorce. But even for a clergyman today, this is really no longer all that necessary. Because, you see, some 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, loud liberal voices in avant-garde magazines were trying to convince the public that divorce was not all that harmful. In fact, some even tried to claim that family breakups are often a blessing to children. Now, however, trying to make such a case, especially in recent months, is not only difficult, it is entirely impossible. In the last 12 months, several major news magazines have announced, even on their front covers, that the family breakup is a concern not only of the clergy and of the church, but also of secular social critics, who now unanimously agree that unless the trend of family breakups is arrested and reversed, our entire nation is headed for a future of social self-destruction. Now, of course, it is convenient and even comfortable to continually criticize social difficulties. There is, however, very little value in this negative activity. What we as individuals and as an entire society need to do is we need to find a solution. And instead of cursing the darkness, we need to strike a match for the cause of light. Now, of course, let's be honest. With even our best intentions, we may not be able to prevent many feuding husbands and wives from throwing in the towel, as we say, and heading for the divorce court. We can, however, help the children, the potential victims, and many of those little ones already victimized. And if we are going to do this, if we are going to provide real assistance to today's vulnerable children and the youth, then we are going to need to listen to our Heavenly Father as He reveals Himself in His Holy Word. Because you see, of all the religions and of all the isms and cults and philosophies, none offers more love, more kindness, and more hope than does the Christian faith. Oh yes, as you search for hope in life and help for your family, you can closely examine and continually re-examine any and all of the religious faiths of today. However, you will not find any belief or philosophy where the central figure has devoted more time, more concern, and more love for children than has our Lord Jesus.
Listen as I read from the Bible, from the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. We read, "And they were bringing children to Jesus so that he might touch them. But, the Bible says, the disciples of Jesus rebuked those who brought the children." This means that the followers of Jesus were probably telling mothers and fathers, "Oh, don't bother Jesus with the children. Jesus has more important things to be concerned about." But the Bible then also explains that when Jesus heard about the attitude of his disciples, he was indignant. He was angry and he was upset. Jesus then said, "Permit the children to come unto me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And truly I say unto you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter the kingdom at all." And then the Bible concludes, "Jesus took the little children into his arms and he began blessing them. He laid his hands upon them." The plight of many children today is surely disintegrating. And according to the Wall Street Journal, over 1 million children have been abandoned in one way or another by their own parents, and they are now being raised by their grandparents. And of course, many of these parents were probably themselves caught in some type of social trap and may have had little choice but to give up their own children. And so, if you as a parent today have concerns about the uncertain future of your children, then consider the example of Jesus in the Bible. Others around you, even family members and perhaps even your spouse, may be totally unconcerned about your children or your teenagers. Jesus, however, is very concerned, and Jesus is the one to turn to when no one else seems to care. In a human sense, it may appear to you too late for you to help your children. Your present family situation may even appear to be a disaster. Nevertheless, for the power of God and for His grace and His forgiveness, it is never too late. In His holy word, God is saying to you today, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." We can talk all about the ideal family or the way we think that families ought to be. And even God Himself has outlined in the Bible the family unit that He prefers. One father, one mother, one husband, one wife, and no divorce. God, however, is also realistic. And while God does not condone broken homes, neither does He abandon them. And this is also why Jesus is so important for our confused and broken families. No matter whether your family is, in your eyes, nearly perfect, or maybe even a disaster, we are all sinners. We are all in the need of God's help. The Bible tells us that all of us, yes, all of us are like sheep who have gone astray. Every one of us has turned unto his own way. And for this reason, we need to turn back to God. And even if you have been a terrible failure, God can stand you up once again with his gift of strong feet of faith. Oh, my friend, don't wait until you feel that you have your life in order before you return to the Lord. God is not interested in helping self-righteous people. God's arms are open to sinners, people who have failed in life, sometimes miserably. Jesus said, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come," Jesus said, "to call the righteous or the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance." One of the most important things in your life, whether your family is now intact or whether it has been fractured, is that you become involved now in the study of the Bible. You need to read the Word of God, not to become more religious, but to learn more about who the forgiving and the cleansing and the hope-giving Jesus Christ really is. Both you and your children need to know Jesus. Jesus is not a mere historical figure. Jesus is alive. Yes, Jesus is alive today, and he is now sitting at the very right hand of God. And when you and I pray to God in Jesus' name, we have every confidence that Jesus will take our pleas and our petitions into the very throne room of God, and we can then be absolutely sure that our God of grace and our Lord of love will help us. And of course, if your children are going to make it in today's confused world, they too need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need someone who will never change, someone who is always going to be forgiving, and someone who is present every hour to strengthen, to encourage, and to give them hope. And so the future that many children and youth of our society today face, even according to secular social experts, is confusing at best and depressing at worst. It is foolish, therefore, for anybody to think of trying to rapidly redesign the home or society in an attempt to protect the children. And the very best thing that we can give our children is a strong inner character, a strong inner faith, and a strong inner conviction of hope for the future. And then with this inner strength, we can be absolutely assured that no matter what our children might come up against, they will never be destroyed eternally. Oh yes, the devil is truly at work in the world today. He is a powerful force of evil, a force of deception and destruction. No man or woman, apart from God, is able to stand up against the devil. But even a little child with the promise of God can resist the worst attacks of Satan himself. God's promise, yes, the hope that God is offering unto all children at this hour, is spoken of in the Bible, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. The Bible here is saying that greater is Jesus who lives within you by faith and also within a child than the devil who lives in the world. Oh yes, parents and mothers and fathers, God is calling you today to fortify your offspring and make sure that the Christ of Easter, the crucified and the resurrected Christ, lives within the hearts of your little loved ones. This glorious promise of God recorded in the Bible takes place when your children hear those Bible stories that focus on Jesus, when your children attend church with you, and when they sing the Christ-centered hymns with you, and when they go to Sunday school and Bible class with you, then God's gift of faith will surely begin to grow within their heart. And with this God-given faith and with the power of Christ's resurrection living in their hearts, your children, your loved ones, will then be prepared not only to meet, but also to overcome the evil one. Oh, my friends, may God's promise of help give you courage in order to move ahead in life. And may the perfect forgiveness now so freely offered unto you by your Heavenly Father through the merits of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, may this wonderful good news of God's gospel of perfect forgiveness of your past failures cleanse you from all sin, strengthen you in the faith, and guarantee unto you a living hope, both for this life and also for eternity. O Lord, we pray, strengthen the marriages and the families of all those who are listening today. Where there is hurt, remove it. Where there is guilt, assure those hearts of your perfect forgiveness. And even if some now face the terror of despair, plant into their troubled soul instead the courage and the conviction of the Apostle Paul, who said, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. O Lord, grant this spirit of hope unto all who are listening today, including the little children. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.